Hey, welcome to the CF Podcast. This is Derek. Thank you for joining us. Man, I don't know about you, but one of the main schemes of the enemy in my life is to make me think that I'm all alone. And if we're going to be a resilient people, we've got to be a people that recognize that we're never alone, that God is always with us. And so today we're going to be diving into Psalm 23. We're going to be looking at David's life and how he was a man who knew how to strengthen himself in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to know how to strengthen myself in the Lord. So grab your Bible, grab some notes. Let's dig into the Word together. Yeah, let's join in prayer together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have opened up the way. Thank you that we can dwell in your presence, that through Christ you've opened up the way to the Father. We thank you. We praise you. Just as we open up the gathering today, singing Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we recognize you today and we honor you, Father. That you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And Jesus, we honor you this morning. We recognize that you laid down your life, that you chose humility and offered up your life. And you loved us so well that you died for us. You showed us what love was like. We thank you, Holy Spirit, now with us as we celebrate and think about Pentecost, the remembrance of that, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you were poured out on the 120 and poured out on us, that you pour the Father's love into our hearts through you. Thank you that we can dwell in the house of the Lord today in community with you and with one another. So we bless you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you're sitting down, tell somebody hello beside you. I like it. Well, welcome to church this morning, Christ Fellowship. Man, it is good to be with you guys. My name's Derek. For you that are visiting, we welcome you. Hope you're enjoying the morning and the weekend. And our prayer, number one prayer, is that you would encounter God today. Not hear a message or hear a song that you like, but you would encounter the living God today. We are a church about his presence. We want to follow and listen and lean into and submit to him. And so we're learning how to do that. Man, it's Memorial Day weekend. As Jennifer, it's kind of fall though, isn't it? Kind of weird. It's kind of weird, like getting the fall clothes back out. We live in Tennessee, right? It's kind of wild, right? And so I want to encourage you to enjoy. Take a deep breath this weekend. Most of us, not all of us, but many of us have the day off tomorrow. And so enjoy it. If you get a chance, man, get the grill out, dodge some raindrops. But as you're enjoying things, can I just be honest? Can I just challenge us a little bit? Before you just enjoy, can we just agree that the Memorial Day is not about you standing at a grill and enjoying a hot dog and a hamburger? Like, it's a benefit, but it's like a secondary benefit. Memorial Day, at its core, is a day to remember. Not remember that you got a day off, that's great. But we are called to remember the price that many have paid in order that you and I could be free, right? And so I want to challenge you tomorrow morning when you wake up, before you plan your day, before you do anything, can you just take a moment and can you, first of all, just be thankful? Secondly, would you take a moment, this is encouragement for all of us, could you take a moment and could you pray for those that have lost loved ones in the line of duty? See, that's what a Memorial Day is. I had the privilege of being with the Sullivan County Sheriffs a few weeks ago, and they held their memorial service, and each of the fallen officers over the years had family members represented there, and it was a beautiful thing, and it was a time to remember the lives that were laid down. And so I want to encourage us to do that for Memorial Day, that we don't just enjoy it, but we actually recognize the gift it is that we have freedom. Anybody else glad that we have freedom in here, right? So glad, yeah. So do that. Man, I don't know about you, but I love the fact that we have people writing music for our church. Isn't that amazing? Like Psalm 23, obviously, you know, we didn't write Psalm 23. That would be heresy. But David wrote that. But we have people that take scripture and take melody and take truths and put it in. And so Psalm 23 was kind of the latest thing that our team's been working on. And so we have a team of writers in our church that are gathering together and working together to recognize what is God doing in our church. And then they're taking the scriptures, the truth of God, and they're putting it to melody, and they're bringing it to our community so that we can sing it together to honor God first and foremost. Yes, of course, but also, how many of you know what we sing shapes what we believe? Do you know that? Like, that's why, like, we don't believe songs and singing are warm up for the message. I'm gonna say that again. Songs and singing are not warming us up to hear the word of God. Right? Yeah, thank you back there. Yeah, right? Like, here's the thing. Here's a really humbling thing I know about when I preach. You may remember one thing I say. Maybe. Like, by Wednesday, you might remember one thing. But here's what's probably going to happen. You're going to be humming a song that we sang on Sunday morning for the next 2 weeks. And so we believe it's really important what we sing. It matters a whole lot. The truth that we declare, it actually matters. And so we have a team that is writing music, writing songs that is for our house, not for our church to make money, because honestly, you can't really make money in the industry. Like, it's not like there for very many people, but with a heart to say, how do we unify our church? How do we sing songs filled with truth that are relevant to what's happening here in Kingsport and the Tri-Cities? Like, that's what we're after. And so we got people that are creative in writing songs. We've got people in our church that are writing books. How many of you know that? And there's some authors in our church. Lots of different ways, from going the standard route to publishing with a big publisher. We have some people that are writing books, that are self-publishing, like, all over the board. We've got people that are writing movies in our church. Do you know that? In our community, how many of you know that Hollywood could use some truth right now, right? Right? Amen to that. How many of you know if the people of God don't step up to write the scripts, nobody else will? Anybody else know that? And so, just to encourage you, we have some different people in our church, in this little tiny community in East Tennessee, that are writing movie scripts that are being offered up to Hollywood and actually in Atlanta as well. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. And we also have people that are artists, photographers, videographers, and people that make things, makers. And so what we recognize is that as a community, the artists typically set the tone and the trajectory of where a community is going. Some of you are nodding your heads. But here, if you look at history, the creatives in culture are usually 10 to 20 years ahead of where the culture is. And I think it's interesting that the enemy would try to remove the people of God, the church, from being the ones on the front end of art, because then they're gonna lack the ability to influence culture. How many of you know the church hasn't done a great job of setting the tone for the arts in our country anymore? How many of you know that, right? Like, we've abdicated ourselves, like, we've run people off. And so we actually believe as a church that the arts are super, super important. It's not just beauty, but it actually sets the tone for culture. And so as we've been praying, we've been saying, man, how do we gather creatives in our community? We've got a writers group that meets about once a month that Rico leads. Amazing. We've got people that are talking about different books and writings and worship songs, but we said, man, what would it look like if we had 2 days where we gathered together, where we called creatives locally and around the country to come together? And so you guys have been hearing us talk about this, but I want to make sure there's an understanding. So we've got Create Collab. I think we got a screenshot here. Create Collab, June 23rd and 24th. And so the heart of that is what would it look like for our community to invite creatives, whether it's writing songs, writing books, photography, paint, actors, actresses, whether they're already a professional level or you're just like, I got a passion to do this, I feel like the Lord's put this in me, what would it look like to gather together and to learn what it looks like to create with God? And to get free of all the things that keep us from being creative, and then send people out as they collaborate with one another and with God to do things that are gonna shape our culture. And so on June 23rd and 24th, we're gonna be gathering here in this room. It's a Friday night and it's a Saturday. And so I wanna encourage you, if you have any creative inkling, if you have a desire that this is for you, this collab. Sometimes we have these events at the church and we're like, well, that's for people. Yes, man, already we've got people from all across the country that are signed up, from California, East Coast, that are flying in to be part of this. But I don't want you, our local community, to miss out on the gift of this. We got some amazing speakers, amazing people in their craft that are gonna come, and it's really to cultivate the creatives in our community, right? And so I wanna encourage you to sign up. If you wouldn't be like that person, then maybe you know somebody who would benefit. They don't have to come to our church. They can be part of the community anywhere. But I think it's gonna be in a really, really important gathering as we see creatives once again set the tone for culture with God in mind. And if you're creative, you also know that, man, creatives hear a lot of criticism, right? And they hear no a lot of times. And so creatives have to be resilient. And so today I want to close up our series on being resilient. And today I want to look at David. I think it's interesting that I'm talking about Creative Collab and it's Memorial Day weekend because David was both a warrior. He was a leader of a military movement, right? But he was also a creative worshiper. How many of you know those two things aren't mutually exclusive? David was a warrior and he was a worshiper. Creative. David learned how to navigate and have strategy over military, but he also knew how to strategically put musicians and prayer leaders and instrumentalists. He knew how to put them in a place where they could honor and minister to the Lord. And so today, as we close up our series on resiliency, I want to look at David, because David had a lot of ups and downs. He had some really high moments and he had some really low moments. And so if you have your Bible, I would love for you to grab 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're talking about resiliency. So resiliency, you remember, is our ability to navigate and recover after a difficult or adverse experience. We've been talking about this for quite a few weeks now. For lots of feedback, people appreciating it, people needing it in this season. So what would it look like for us to partner with God to be more resilient as a community, as individuals? And today, as we close up, I want to look at David and how David navigated this specific incident, a very, very traumatic experience. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to pick up in verse 1. It says, "Now when David and his men came to Ziklag, on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Negev and against Ziklag. And they had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and their sons and daughters were captive." Can we just pause right there? So imagine this. So David and his men are out on a mission. They're told to go back home, and so they go back home, and they're expecting to be reunited with their families, to take a moment to rest. And when they get back to their town, to their village, what they find is a village that's been burned, ransacked, and their wives and children have been captive. How many of you know that's a bad day? Like, that's the epitome of, like, horrendous moment. And in this moment, you can either fold or you can be resilient, right? And so we're going to see what happens. It says, "Then David and the people who were with him, they raised their voices and they wept until they had no more strength to weep." It hurt them, man. It hit them hard, right? And so it's like, oh my goodness. And so our only response is to cry out, and they weep and they call out to God. And then David's two wives also had been taken captive. So it wasn't just his men, it was his wives had been taken captive. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name. Let's just call her A.H. Of Jezreel. It's already hard enough here. And Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed. Listen to this. The bad day where he lost his wife, his kids, village burned down. It got way worse. David was greatly distressed, of course, for the people spoke of stoning him. The very men that he was with in the battle, they've come back home. And now, because of everything that's happened, because they're bitter of heart, it says that the very friends and the warriors that were with him, they want to kill David. Man, it keeps getting worse. They wanted to kill him because of the people who were bitter in their soul, each of his sons and daughters. But look at this last line, and this is where we're going to go today, and we're going to set up shop. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Town burned, goods taken, wives and kids captured, your friends want to kill you. And look what David did. It says, "But David strengthened himself and the Lord his God." I think there's something here that we can mine out today in the scriptures. There's something about David strengthening himself in the Lord that changed everything. And sometimes we read these scriptures or we hear these stories and we can just kind of glaze over that, but we should ask the question, what does it mean to strengthen yourself in the Lord? Because after this, what we see is David, he gets his guys back together, he rallies the troops, and he goes and pursues the enemy after he inquires the Lord, and he gets back not only all his goods, but he also finds his wives and his children, and he gets everything back that was lost. How many of you want that for the ending of the story? Man, what I thought was lost, I actually have back. Man, I thought the day was the worst day, and yes, it was a bad day, terrible day, gruesome day, but how many of you know it doesn't have to be the end of the story? That's what resiliency is. It's our ability to navigate these hard things, to move forward. And it says here that the key to David's resilience is the fact that he understood, he knew, he had this wisdom. How do I strengthen myself in the Lord? And so today I want to give you some practical ways of you and I when we navigate hard things, when we navigate surprises, when we navigate loss and pain and how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Here's five steps, real simple. Five steps. I would love for you to write these down. Number one, how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Is to remember that God is with you. I think one of the greatest ploys of the enemy, the one who hates your soul, the one who is the father of lies, is to speak in our ears, you are alone. Nobody sees you, nobody cares, including God. You are on your own. And when I believe that I am on my own, guess what? I've got to do everything myself. And then I begin to do things under my own strength, and I don't strengthen myself in the Lord. But if we're going to be a people that strengthen ourselves in the Lord, the first step is to remember that God is with me, that his presence is near. David, if you look at David's life, he was a man who loved God's presence. His whole life surrounded this connection with God. He even set up the city of David. He set it up where people at the center were worshiping God. They were playing music 24/7. They were praying. They were interceding. They were ministering to the Lord. It was all about God's presence there. And David's life was marked with also prayer, connection, relationship, crying out to God, listening to God. He was a man who loved the presence of God. And he knew something that many of us forget, that I forget sometimes. This is Psalm 139. It says, David writes, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." See, David had this amazing insight that, man, wherever I go, God is present. That's partly why I love Pentecost, is because when we celebrate Pentecost, it's Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God is poured on the 120, and then it goes out from there. But we are reminded that you and I, we can never be alone, that God is with us, and he's given us his Spirit. And not only has he given us his Spirit, he's placed his Spirit inside of us. How many of you know God's Spirit lives inside of you? Anybody else know that today? Y'all aren't acting like it. Come on now. You know the Spirit of God is in you today? I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but let's wake up, people. The Spirit of God is in you. Guess what that means? You will never be alone. And sometimes in the midst of hardship, in the midst of struggle, we got to remember, man, I'm not alone. The truth is God is with me, and he's not just with me. Guess what? He's also for me. He's for you. And so we got to be a people that remember that God is with us. The second thing, as we remember that God is with us, here's so critical. We have to remind ourselves of who God is. We gotta remind yourself of God's character, who he is, what he's like. It's really, if you're looking for a reason to read your Bible, which, you know, there's lots of great reasons, but one of the amazing reasons to read your Bible is because this whole book is a revelation of who God is. Like, I know we get in the routine and like, I gotta read my Bible because I gotta read my Bible. Like, we gotta do it. We gotta check it off the list. And I feel like sometimes the Lord is like, no, I wanna meet you here because I wanna show you in my word who I am. And so we got to be a people that are tethered, that are anchored in who does God say? Because in the midst of hardship, guess what's easy to do? When I have a hard day, when I have a hard month, when I have a hard year, it's easy for me to say, God, you're not good. Man, it's our propensity. We blame God for things that aren't on God, right? We do these things. And so when we remember that God is with us, then we have to also remind ourselves who God is. And so we have the scriptures. And David was a brilliant master of this. Psalm 105 or 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." There's something about remembering that God is with us. And then as I remember that God is with us, I want to remind myself, I want to be intentional to say, okay, this is who God is. And a lot of that comes from the scriptures of who God is, but also I'm reminding myself of who God is because I'm reminding myself of who God has been in the past. So I just want you to take a moment, just close your eyes just for a moment. Let me just show you how practical this is. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just think in your mind right now, your mind's eye, I want you to think back and remind yourself of a time when God was present and with you. When you experienced his provision, his protection. Actually be present in that, remind yourself, oh my goodness. And even as we do that all around the room, this is what happened in our we're being encouraged. Just think about that. Reminding ourselves of the Lord is something that we can intentionally do. And so even in a hard day, here's what I'll do. I'll remind myself, okay, God, I remember that you're with me. Okay, yes, I remember. Your word says that you never leave me nor forsake me. You are with me. And Lord, as I recognize that you're with me, I'm reminded about who you are in your word, that you are faithful when I'm not faithful. That your faithfulness reaches to 1,000 generations. I'm reminded about who you're. And then, Lord, I remember and I remind myself of that time when I was over here in the sanctuary and we were praying for a lady who had cancer, and they had documentation that she had cancer, but we prayed for her. About 12 of us prayed for her. And then she went back to the doctor, got another scan, and the cancer was no longer there. How many of you know that does something to your spirit and you remind yourself of what God has done in the past? I'm reminded about when I prayed for a young lady at her shoulder, and as I was praying, she felt the warmth and the power of God come on her shoulder. And when she needed surgery coming in, she didn't need surgery after. I'm reminded of the Lord. I'm reminded of the Lord that there's plenty of couples in our church that have navigated really hard things, that it looked like divorce, and yet both of them came to the table, like Jamie was talking about, humbled themselves, and their marriage is restored and reconciled. Reminding ourselves of who God is so powerful. And so we remember that God is with us. We remind ourselves of who God is. And when we remind ourselves who God is, it empowers us to move forward with God. And so the third one, so we remember, we remind, and then we release our burdens to the Lord. Release the burdens that we have, the challenge, the struggle, the adversity. We bring that to the Lord. Psalm 55, 22, another verse from David writes, he says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Cast your burden on the Lord. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me." Man, are you tired? You're worn out with religion? You're beat up? He says, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light." And so as we remember that we're not alone, as we remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done, we then release the burdens that we have. We release the angst. We cry out to God and say, "God, this is what's going on. This is what's happening to me, or this is what I've done." And we release it to the Lord. And I picture myself in my mind as I'm praying. I just picture myself, whatever that is that's holding me back, that's keeping me down. I just picture myself giving that to the Lord. That's releasing our burdens. And I even verbally, I'll get alone by myself, I'll take a walk in the woods or I'll walk around the neighborhood and I'll just say, "Lord, I release this to you. I give this to you." See, I think a lot of times our problem is we're holding on to things that Jesus died to take away. We're holding on to challenges and hardships. things that have been done to us, things that we've done. And the Lord's like, Derek, I died so you don't have to carry that anymore. Will you release it to me? So we're called to give God what's weighing us down to release. So we remember, we remind, we release. The fourth one is super critical, and that's to rest and receive. Rest and receive. See, the key to the kingdom of God is not about striving. It's not about trying to work at something. If I had to sum up our relationship with God with one word, it would be receive. Paul says that you didn't attain salvation with your good works, right? That you can boast in it. How do you receive salvation? I literally just told you. You what? You receive salvation. How does the Spirit of God come upon us? We receive the Spirit of God. How do we walk in forgiveness? We receive forgiveness. We receive grace. We receive peace. We receive. The kingdom of God is about receiving. But that receiving is preceded by resting. Taking a deep breath, stop trying to make it on our own, and just being. And David had so many psalms where he would say, just be still, right? We know that, be still and know that I am God. Or Psalm 62:1, it says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Psalm 24:5-6 is they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from their God, their Savior. They will receive blessing. They will receive vindication. It's about resting and receiving. It's about asking. So when we're in the middle of the trial, the frustration, man, this marriage is not going well. It's looking like divorce, man. My kids made some bad decisions. I can't undo that. In the middle of that, what do? We remember that God is with me. Okay, you are in this moment. You are present with me. I'm reminded of who you are, God, that you are faithful. I release my burden. I say, God, here's my kids. Here's my marriage. I release it to you. And then I rest and receive from the Lord. I ask him. And the fifth one, and this is really important for being resilient, is to re-engage. I think we got them all up there, yeah. To re-engage with the present challenge. See, God doesn't strengthen us. We're talking about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. God doesn't strengthen us to stay, although that would be really nice. Like the whole purpose of strengthening yourself in the Lord is not so you can stay put, right? Now, I know like lifting weights, like you go to the gym and you lift weights and typically you just stay at the gym longer and longer. It's like, what do you have these muscles for, right? Sometimes it's kind of weird, right? But like, how many of you know, strengthening yourself in the Lord is not for you to stay in the gym. It's for you to go out and actually use the strength that God's given you, right? A big difference. So when David says he knew how to strengthen himself in the Lord, and when I'm talking about strengthening yourself in the Lord, it is not unto you being in a safe little cave that you can keep getting stronger and stronger with God. The whole point of strengthening yourself in the Lord is that you can go back to the place that you had to run from to begin with. The whole point of being strengthened in the Lord is that you can go back into the darkness, that you can go back into the battle, and you can actually find victory where you first thought was only defeat. That's the essence of why we want to be strengthened in the Lord. And David experiences, he was strengthened in the Lord, and then he goes back into battle, and he actually finds all that he thought was lost. Strengthening ourselves in the Lord, it's not about staying put, it's actually about going back in. And so I love how David writes about this in the Psalms. And if you're with me here, Psalm 23, if you want to flip over there, it's really why we sang that song today. And we're going to sing another song out of the message that references this Psalm 23. But I want to give you just a little different lens as we read Psalm 23. We just sang about it. We're going to sing a little bit about it again. But Psalm 23 was written by David. Most theologians believe towards the end of his leadership reign. So Psalm 23, just think about this. So he's been king for quite some time, several decades, and now he's looking back over his life, over the past, and he's penning and he's writing, or he's having somebody write for him, a scribe probably, write down some wisdom and some things that he's learned from the Lord. So Psalm 23 is more than just a really helpful scripture to read at a funeral, although it's super applicable with funerals. I oftentimes reference it because it does help us in time of need. But to me, it's deeply strategic. It's God speaking through David, the warrior who also was a worshiper, and he's given us a model for how do we navigate hard things? How do we strategically walk forward? And in this, he's actually revealing how to strengthen himself in the Lord, how he did it. And so these five things that I listed up here, if you watch closely, you'll actually see each one of the five in Psalm 23. And so with that said, with the different lens, I want you to think about Psalm 23 as strategy. I'm gonna read it here today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, what David understood was that the presence of God changes everything. Man, you want to be a resilient person? Make it your aim to recognize the presence of God with you at the mountaintops, but also in the valley. That's why I love this passage, because David is pointing back to his life, his experiences, his history with God. And he's saying that God's presence is available. I can just stop right there. Listen to me. God is available to you today. It's available when things are going great, but it's also available when things aren't going great. It's available in the green pastures where you have your fill and you're out relaxed and everything's great. The season's beautiful. God is present. How many of you know God's present in that season? Oh my goodness, he's so present. But what David's writing at the end of his life, he's talking about his history with God. He also recognizes that God's presence is also available in the valley of the shadow of death, where darkness is closing in, where there doesn't seem like there's a path forward. But he says, you walk me through, not to, the valley of the shadow of death. Being a resilient person, especially a person that follows Jesus, is dependent upon our recognition that God is with us. And if God is with us, man, guess what else comes with him? Peace is available with God. Strength is available with God. Joy is available with God. Wisdom is available when we recognize that God is with us, because he is wisdom. He is knowledge. Whether you're getting a promotion at work or you just lost your job, whether you're celebrating the birth of a child or you're mourning the death of a loved one, whether you're running a marathon or you're sick in a hospital bed, God is with us. His presence is there. Circumstances may change. Diagnosis may change. Relationships may change. But here's what we can take to the bank every day. God is present. And if you want to be a resilient person, if you want to recognize, if you want to be strong as you navigate hard things, man, we've got to be a people that remember that God is with us. We got to remind ourselves, who is this God that's with us? We got to be rooted in the scripture, rooted in the truth of what is this God? Who is this God? What has he done? And then we release our burden. We give it to him. And it's all into re-engaging. So Lord, thank you for this community. Thank you for the truth in the scripture. Lord, we thank you for David, how he was a real guy walking life and challenges and navigating ups and downs. Lord, I thank you that you taught David how to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. I think that even Psalm 23 is a picture of how do we do that. So Lord, I pray for this community, that we would be a people that learn how and are open to strengthen ourselves in you, our Lord and our God. That we can navigate hard things, navigate challenges. Lord, I bless this community. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for one another, that we could sing together, that we can unite our hearts together in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing these last two songs.